Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 9th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the big book. We're on page 12 in Bill's story. We're starting with the third paragraph today. That statement hit me hard, and reading two paragraphs ending with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin P, 12 traditions, Elizabeth C, and readers of the text, Harlan G and Judith SP. The share ID for Thursday, January the 8th, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23099. That's 23099. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 23100. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin P is going to read the steps for us. Good morning, Tenzin. Tenzin, please press star 1 to unmute.
Oh, yay, here I am. I got knocked off the call somehow. Okay, Tenzin P, gratefully recovering in this program, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Elizabeth D. is going to read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. I'm Elizabeth D., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're Bill's story on page 12, the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard. And today we're reading two paragraphs. Would I have it? Of course I would. So Harlan G., could you read for us, please?
Thank you very much, Lynn. Thank you for your service, and thank everybody that does service for this meeting. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Let's take a look at each paragraph and these very, very key points. Here's what we have. The bottom line is, he's looking at Ebby, and Ebby is sober, and he is not. Let's take away all the arguments. Forget about what God is or what God isn't, or this relative died, or that injustice, or that horrible thing in the history book, or that horrible thing in the newspaper. We're talking about God. We're talking about a power greater than myself, and it's my only way out. I don't have a plan B. And this is so important that on page 47 of the Big Book in We Agnostics, he says, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? He says, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he is on his way. This is the bottom line on these two paragraphs. And then on Monday, we're going to see the nexus, the confluence, when step one, when the solution hits the problem. Remember that Bill knew of the physical allergy. He knew of the hopeless condition of mind and body. He knew of the mental twist. Ebby did not. Bill didn't know about a solution. So the solution and the problem are sitting in the room, and neither one knows the other's situation. But it says here, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I don't have to be a theologian here. I don't have to have a smicha to become a rabbi to recover. I don't have to be a priest or a minister or a deacon in the church. I don't have to be anything like that. All I need to be willing to believe is that there is a power greater than myself. I don't have to be a theologian. I don't have to understand anything. I don't have to understand why people die or why people shoot one another. I don't have to have explanations for that. Those are horrible things. I'm not discounting those things. Those are nightmarishly horrible things. But there's a horrible thing going on in my life that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm having the one life that I have snuffed out by a disease that I can't control, didn't cause, and can't cure. Somebody is handing me a solution in this book. Why would I spit on it? I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. We're talking about the only solution possible. I saw that growth could start from that point upon a foundation of complete willingness, not partial willingness. I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Of course I would. This is my only way out. I'm drowning in the middle of Lake Michigan. Somebody is handing me a life preserver. Somebody is handing me a way out. I am not going to discuss the color of the life preserver. I am not going to discuss the style of the life preserver. I'm going to grab onto it for all I'm worth, and I want my life saved. And that is what this paragraph is telling me. Let's stop arguing and start living and recovering. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, Lynn, for your service.
Thank you, Harlan G. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa Joe B.
Janet B. Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I know I missed a lot of people. I heard Lisa Joby, Janet B., and Pete B. Is there anybody with an initial that isn't Pete? Sorry, isn't B, I meant.
Jane F.
B. Jane, and there was somebody else?
Kelly G.
Was that Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, so I have Lisa Joe B, Janet B, Pete B, Jane something or other, and Kelly G. Who did I miss? Nobody? Great. All right, let's go with this lineup then, please. We're going to start
Shana
with
C.
Lisa. Shana C.
Sorry,
okay.
Shana C. Yep.
All right. So we're going to start with Lisa Joe B, followed by Janet B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Lynn. Lisa Joe B in Colorado. Melting ice, you know, my intellect, I was always looking for a formula, a way out, something that I could wrap my head around and intellectualize myself out of things because I'm too smart for my own fucking britches, pardon my French, but I think too much for my own good, and I have beat myself up for that, but it's like I'm an addict and I'm a compulsive overeater. And that's what us addicts do, is we try and think ourselves out of things. And fair to me to beat myself up for that. It's not the way. It's like spinning my wheels. I have been spinning my wheels for years in Overeaters Anonymous, trying to get sober. And the only thing that's given me relief is when I stopped trying so hard and I started praying to God to help me to accept his help. And that's the day that I let go of my will, and my heart cracked open like an egg. I remember very vividly when it happened. And since then, I have taken my will back and played back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, when things are not going well for me, I want to take my will back. I want to start trying to come up with a formula or a solution with my head and not surrender with my heart and let go of that grip, that blistering grip that I have, that I'm slipping and sliding all over the place, trying to hold on to ice that's just melting in my hand. And then I just need to trust that God has me. God is going to catch me when I let go. And it's like monkey bars, you know, you hold on to one, and in order to move forward, you have to let go and grab onto the bar in front of you. You have to take that risk. Otherwise, you're just going to fall off. And that's what I've done time and time again with these relapses. And I'm just so grateful that I found the solution and that my heart is opening up more and more in my recovery. So with that, I pass. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa Jo B. from Colorado. Now we have Janet B. followed by Pete B. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B. in North Carolina, recovered, grateful. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Well, that's our step two, right? Came to believe a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I'm thinking about that's such a weird step. Like, why do they care what I believe? If I have pneumonia, you know, and someone just sneaks me penicillin and I don't even know it, I'll get better. I don't need to come to believe that penicillin will restore me to health. But I have to believe that a power greater than myself, and on page 46, they're clear, this power is God, as a person understands God. We have to believe that. And it says as soon as we come to believe it, we begin to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. So that's when I get my first infusion of power, when I come to believe that God can restore me to sanity. Well, how come? Well, I think it's because in the spiritual world, faith is the currency. Right here on earth, if I want a bag of groceries or a tank full of gas, I hand the clerk my credit card or some cash, and that's what I get. The gas, the groceries, because money is a currency in the spiritual world. But I cannot hand God my American Express card. It doesn't work that way, because faith is the currency in the spiritual world. And it's like when I come to believe that God can restore me to sanity, it's like it gets things going in the spiritual world. I don't know. I picture God with this like team of little miniature angels and saying, okay, she's praying. Our next search and rescue mission will be for her. That faith in this does something in the spiritual world. And what do I do if I don't believe in God? Like, am I sunk? I think it can start with a prayer, an honest prayer that goes something like this. God, I don't know if you exist. And if you do exist, I don't know if you care about me.
But if you do exist and you do care, I need help. And I don't think God has a prayer like that, and that he will reveal himself in ways like, oh my goodness, I'm abstinent now for a day, a week, a month. That could not have been me. That had to have been God. But that's what our program promises us we get, page 46, our first infusion of power and direction when we come to believe in God. And I have found time and time again with people that when they say a prayer like that and then start living in a way they think that God, if he existed, would want, miracles happen. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. Next up, we've got Pete B, followed by Jane. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. I appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, in this meeting, I heard somebody talk about the word agnostic and the origin of the word agnostic, meaning that it comes from, I think it was Greek, but ag meaning without, and gnostic meaning knowledge, without knowledge, right? And you know, of all, and I hear people often, you know, say, in what part of my life am I being agnostic, which I don't understand. But when I think about the origin of the word and I think about my history, you know, what I didn't have knowledge of, even in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, is I didn't have real knowledge of the nature of the condition that I have. Right? The real nature of the condition. Right? I thought that the repercussions from my disease were the disease, the isolation, the, you know, inability to distinguish the true from the false in other areas of my life, the fact that I felt out of place and that other people figured it out and I didn't. None of those are the nature of the disease. The nature of the disease is that I have an abnormal reaction to certain foods, certain ingredients, and certain behaviors that trigger craving if I ingest them or engage in them in any way, shape, or form. I'll always have that condition. It'll never go away. It's only getting worse, never better. And not eating is the only way not to trigger it, or not ingesting the substance or engaging in the behavior is the only way to keep myself from triggering that reaction. Coupled with the mental condition that's going to insist that I don't have that physical condition. It's by definition, it's insanity. And what I have to recognize is that there's no code of morals. There's no strategy to work my way through this or think my way through this or get connected enough to overcome it. If I do, in fact, have the condition and I understand the condition and I understand what the solution is entire abstinence and having a spiritual experience, then the only hope I have is in a power greater than myself. If I really comprehend, if I have knowledge of the condition and knowledge of the solution, the only hope I have is to open up my mind and just be willing to believe in this power, that this power can do for me what I can't do for myself and none of you can do for me. Not a sponsor, not a sister, not a brother, not a mother, not a father. I will be unable to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by food, and I'll make a choice to eat again unless I tap into this power. And the good news is I don't have to buy the whole package. I just have to be willing to open up my mind and believe that this thing can do for me what no one or nothing else has ever been able to do. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. Next up, we have Jane, followed by Kelly G. And Jane, can you give us your initial and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Jane. My last initial is S, as in Sparky, and I hail from New Hampshire, but snowbirding in Florida for the winter, very gratefully. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone's service. Thank you for everyone's shares. This is my medicine. I love you guys. You've taught me so much over the years, and what a beautiful reading. So for me, this morning, this just hit me. it hit me that it struck a chord in me that I have a spiritual malady, and I didn't understand what that meant. And I've been in these 12-step rooms for almost 17 years now. But it was a year and a half ago, on July 1st, when I started working with a new sponsor, and we were kind of reviewing where I was at, and I said, yeah, but I'm sober, and I know how to cook, and I know how to eat, and I know how to do this, and I. She said, but you didn't recoil like from a hot flame. And I said, yeah, I said, I know. I said, I understand in my heart that if I eat certain things, it is going to take me down the wrong path. But I said, I choose not to. I said, and I just get the old efforts. And I remember she looked at me and she said, no, that's not what it is. She said, that's the spiritual malady. And for that, that was a light bulb that went off for me after almost 15 years in this fellowship and other fellowships. And what I realized was that I was trying to control still. I had not let go all the way. I believed in a higher power, and I believed that I needed that higher power, but I really, truly wasn't surrendering and accepting who I was. And I was willing, but I kept taking my will back. And at that point in time, I was sick and tired of being really sick still in sobriety and even in abstinence. And so I let go. The set aside prayer was huge for me. I set aside everything I thought I knew, you know, that I had already learned. And I stopped resisting, and I ceased fighting everything and everyone, including myself. And that inner spiritual malady is that inner conflict within myself that I think I can fix it. I had to let go of it all. And every day, and I still do every day, just let go. Each day I get up, each day I have a new beginning. I lost my sponsor 7 years ago that started me in this 12-step fellowship all those years ago. And you know what? I just honored her this morning, thanked her once again for all she shared, her experience, strength, and hope. She walked before me just like so many of you have. And today I get to do it again. I've surrendered my will, my life, accepted who I am, and given everything to God this morning, mind, body, and soul. And here I am. And, do another day and let God unfold my day. Thank you once again for letting me share my path.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next up, we have Kelly G., followed by Shauna C. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you for your service this morning. And Harlan, thank you so much for that lead. I was wondering if you were on your morning walk this morning, because you didn't sound out of breath, so maybe you're going to do it after. But, I love what was shared, you know, about this. There's no plan B. And for me, like, life is not a dress rehearsal. You know, I want it all. I want to feel the maximum amount of pleasure from this program. I want to feel all the promises to its entirety. I don't want part of it. I don't want maybe next time. I want it all. And when I live my life like that, it gets so much richer, because there's no later. There's only now. I've wasted so many years of my life wanting things to be better. Look at things on the other side. And it's like, you can actually be on the other side. Like, I didn't realize that, like, I could also have it all. And, you know, I used to see people, well, I still do, right? There's so many walks of life in these meetings. And we all have something in common, which is that we have this disease. We have this thing. And I remember being in the grips of this disease. And I was made an outreach call to a woman whose circumstances were so much worse than mine, like so much worse. And she was so happy and so grateful. And I'm like, how in the world is that possible? Like, how could this woman under those circumstances be so happy and grateful? Like, how do you even get up in the morning? And then what she had that I didn't, which was the most important element, was God. She believed in God. And in the doctor's opinion, the main purpose of that is to decide that to determine that we have an allergy, right? And so the allergy is what makes up for those details of like, I don't know why I eat this food and I can't stop, or I don't know when I get stung by a bee and I'm in the hospital, or I don't know when I have a peanut, I can't breathe, right? Like all those things, it's like, we don't know why, we can't eat that. And then we realize like, oh, we have an allergy, that's why. So when I eat that and my body reacts like that, I'm allergic. Well, the same thing for me in the spiritual world, where it's like, I don't understand why people sometimes are so happy or live in such faith, or like if someone overcomes a disease or cancer and they're like, it was God. And it's like, what? Like that was the most frustrating response and conclusion to healing. And now it's like, whoa. Like the belief, the thing that goes on between my two ears, like that is the most powerful thing, are those thoughts, and having those thoughts generated by a power greater than myself is literally like, thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly G from Florida. Shanna C, good morning.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. From Tennessee, compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here. Harlan, thank you so much for your share this morning. Man, I felt like a fire was lit under my butt. It was amazing. And everyone else has shared as well. And what I think about the step two, and one thing that has really helped me is just dwindling it down. Because I like, like so many others have shared over the past few days, especially, I had what I thought was an idea of God, and I thought I knew how God operated. I thought I knew how He showed up, but even to this day, you know, I can pray and there are things that'll happen that just work out completely different than anything I could have planned, and better than anything I could have planned. And so just some of those things that I was able to look back on for step two is where and when were those moments that have happened in my life that just seemed to work out that were unexplainable. For me in particular, there were times where I've had, you know, experiences where I should have been dead, or I should have gotten in a lot of trouble, and I certainly didn't when I certainly deserved it. You know, those kind of glimpses back in my life, looking back on those, and then, you know, some of the unexpected things that just really like bring comfort or whatever, you know. And also too, I've met scores of people who have had those kind of things happen, but they just chalk it up to coincidence, you know. And I've also heard many times, and you know, take it with a grain of salt, opinion, whatever, is, you know, coincidence is God remaining anonymous. I don't know. All I know is I don't have to know. And one thing that just really kept it really simple for me is the amount of faith that is needed to actually go through this process is that horrible feeling of, oh my God, I got nowhere else to go. I got no other plan B. The amount of faith that it took to start another diet that didn't work, by the way, it's about the amount of faith it takes to start this. You know, how many times did I start a new diet with all the desperation of a drowning person? You know, and what's sad is unless that power is sustained through the practice of these 12 steps and that daily reprieve and connection with that higher power, that willingness wanes. And I forget how awesome this program works, and I forget how horrible the disease is, and I forget that my mind has no—I have no mental defense against thinking that I can control it. You know, but so grateful this thing works, and grateful for the opportunity to share. That's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we're continuing our study of the Big Book, and we're in Bill's story on page 12, the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard. And we're reading two paragraphs down to, would I have it? Of course I would. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Rick J.
CK.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard Rick J. And then there were two people after, and I missed them both. Who were they, please?
CK.
Somebody K?
CK in California.
I'm sorry, I can't catch your first name. Could you spell it, please?
CK.
CK.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I've got Rick J and I've got CK. Who am I missing, please?
Connie N.
Is that Connie N?
Connie with an H.
Connie with an H. Okay. Who else, please? Rick J, CK, Connie N.
Colleen M.
Colleen M. Anyone else? No?
Cheryl.
Okay. Whoop, Cheryl. Cheryl L. Okie dokie. Here we go then. We're going to go start with Rick J, followed by CK. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And I overslept this morning, so I'm gonna dial back and so I can listen to the beginning of the meeting. And I know very powerful shares. This is what I need. This is how I, stay connected to that power that's saving me, that I came to believe in. And thank God, of my understanding that this is all we need to do to make a beginning. Just being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. It makes sense that we would arrive at this point in step two if step one is we admitted we're powerless over food and our lives have become unmanageable. So if we're powerless and no human power can transform us and save us and cure this addiction, this obsession of the mind that leads us to that first bite, then what are we going to do? We have to believe in something bigger than ourselves, something greater. So my journey with this began in a 12-step program long ago. And I hated God, and I hated you, and I hated me, most of all. And when I went to meetings, I would share in a way that was very disrespectful and provocative. And I was at a meeting on step two. It wasn't a step meeting, but it just happened to be step two. And it came my turn to share, and I said, I don't know about all this God bullshit. All I know is that if I don't come to these meetings, I'm going to relapse. And I truly believed that. And so at the end of the meeting, I just left like I always did. I didn't hang around. And this guy came out after me. And in my mind, I was like, oh, great, here it comes. He's going to tell me about, not being disrespectful and watching my language at a meeting. And all he said was, Rick, before you go, I just want to tell you what a beautiful job you're doing with step two. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, it sounds like you truly believe if you don't come to the meetings, you're going to relapse. And he said, just let the people in here, let people who gathered together, who are abstinent, be something bigger than you are. And of course, it says that in the big book and the 12 and 12, if I had bothered to read it, which I hadn't. But that's something, not one particular person, but the the collective recovery could be something bigger than me.
Time, please.
And I just remember thinking on the way home, could it really be that simple? And I am so grateful to say that, yes, it can really be that simple. And from that moment on, I have grown in that relationship. And I strive each day to release the things that block me from that power so I can connect to that power and also the people in my life. And that's true recovery. With that, I pass.
Where are you calling from, please, Rick?
North Carolina.
Thank you. Okay, it's Rick J. from North Carolina. Now we have CK followed by Hani N. Good morning, CK.
Peace, family. This is CK in California. And today I have 453 days, and I'm a real Bill. You know, Bill drank oceans and oceans of alcohol, and I ate mountains and mountains of food. And, man, this paragraph, I mean, this what was read today, oh, it just really hit me hard. Man, so like I said, today I have 453 days. I got my one-year chip in October. But I've been in these rooms since 2010. Somebody told me about OA in 2010. So I literally spent 14 years in and out of these rooms, you know, thinking I could work the CK program and not the OA program, you know. Proof positive out here in these streets, getting my ass kicked about food, the way I thought about food, getting my ass kicked about the way I thought about people, the way I thought about relationships, knowing that there's a solution, knowing that I heard about a solution in 2010. But, you know, I'm thinking I got the power. I'm thinking I'm in control. And finally, in 2024, I surrender that I don't know what I'm doing. My life is unmanageable. I have no power. Lack of power is my dilemma. And so I cried out for help. And I needed, you know, I needed a power greater, you know, because my power was trash. You know, my power availed me nothing. And so I learned on the page 100 that my recovery is dependent upon my relationship with God. You know, it uses the G word in this book a lot, but I don't have to believe in God. I happen to believe in God, but you don't have to believe what everybody else believes to get recovery. But you better believe in something. If you want to stand in the sunlight, if you want to get some recovery, you better find something you can believe in. And I'm just grateful that I found something I can believe in. It's a power greater than myself because I need a higher power. My lower power is self-centered and just a pure asshole, just to be honest. And so I need a power greater. I need a power greater that's full of love and grace and compels me to be a better person. And so, man, I'm just so grateful that I have a foundation of willingness, and I'm starting to see the promises show up in my life because I surrender. And I heard on this meeting that all surrender is the courage to let go of the control. And so, I'm just so grateful I finally let go. So thanks for letting me share, y'all. This is CK in California.
Thank you, CK from California. Now we've got Hani N, followed by Colleen M. Good morning, Hani.
Hi, this is Hani from Florida. I don't really share in this meeting, so I hope everyone could hear me. But I don't think there was a way I could articulate what's been said, but it so much really spoke to me. And, you know, one of the things I'm dealing with is I started taking my will back with food again, and I didn't want to talk about it because I just wanted to figure it out with God, you know. It wasn't that bad, right? And so I started keeping a secret from my sponsor and from fellows, and that secret just nearly killed me. And the most baffling thing about it is, like, it wasn't about the food. It was, I mean, it is about the food, but those aren't, like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm, like, struggling to say, like, the food wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, you know? But, like, the fact that, like, I feel so much shame around it and, like, the secret, like, I want to keep is, like, that's the disease, you know? And it's painful, but hearing everyone today and knowing that, like, I'm not the only one who's, like, been in recovery for a while and, like, tried to keep the secrets again. Like, thank you for, like, just being so honest today, because I wanted to do better. And, like, just the fact that I'm, like, so powerless in a room with powerless people, like, just makes me feel less alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Hani N. from Florida. Now we have Colleen M., followed by Cheryl L. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning. This is Colleen M. from Maryland, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. And, gosh, powerful, powerful paragraphs and shares. And I just wanted to chime in since it was quiet. You know, like so many I've heard in the rooms, I got here, I wanted no parts of God. God had been a terrible disappointment in my life. And, you know, I was full of self-will. And, you know, I got the food, but thank goodness, maybe I'm a good dieter, but the food was down. But I never got what Bill sees in Ebby, you know, this transformation. And I spent a couple years in the rooms looking for it and, you know, coming here and studying this big book and working the steps with someone recovered who had a spiritual transformation helped me find my way back to a power greater than myself that I call God. And, you know, I love this sentence where it says, upon the foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. And I saw you people and heard you people on this line. You sounded free, free of the fear of relapse, free of, you know, self-loathing, fear, you know, all of this emotions that drove me to the food. And I couldn't get free of that with abstinence alone. I needed to have a power greater than myself. And it was a slow, slow road back to that power, but I had, you know, the other book that a lot of people use talk about, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. And, you know, that's about what I had, a mustard seed worth of faith, but it's grown, you know, because I've seen it in others. And I believe that it was possible for me if I just did this work, I continue to do this work on a daily basis. And today I can tell you that I am free. I am free. I am free at last. And if I continue to do this work, I will stay that way. So, you know, if you're still struggling out there, if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. Just stick around and have this willingness. That's all we need is some willingness and then some action. So thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Colleen M. from Maryland. And next up, we have Cheryl L. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everybody, on the meeting this morning. It's been so good listening to you all. I'm Cheryl L. I live in Florida. I'm gratefully recovered one day at a time in this program. It was only a matter of being willing to believe. And, you know, I spent so much time trying to figure it out. You know, I'm a student, and so, you know, I studied. I studied religions. I studied nutrition. You know, I kept doing things that were good, you know, but my motives were not good. My motives were, if everything looks okay, then I'm okay, you know. I heard this morning in the spiritual world, faith is the currency. I can't buy my way through good acts to abstinence in a spiritual way of life. You know, my conception of my higher power has to be brought down to its simplest level. And my sponsor taught me this early on. Be still and know that I am God. And she would have me say it as a, you know, as a meditation, removing one word each time I said it until I got down to the first, the only word, which was be. Just be. And I have people telling me, you don't have to, well, first of all, you don't have to be good. You are good because my higher power made us good. And the behaviors, those are the things that I want. But I'm not a human doing. I'm a human being. And so when I get down to the simplest form of connecting with my higher power, being willing to believe, it's just sitting with God. It's just listening for that direction. And then it's walking all through the day with that higher power. And we get to learn more about that as we work these steps. But the first thing is just that willingness to set aside everything I think I know about God, everything I was taught is, and to just sit in the sunshine, sit in the sunlight of the Spirit, and more will be revealed to me. You know, and more is being revealed to me on a day-to-day basis. And I just do the next right thing, and God is working with me on that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl L. in Florida. We have time for one more three-minute share or two-minute shares. Who would like that time, please? Was that Diane? Hello? I think I heard a Diane. Would you like to go ahead, please? Okay, maybe I didn't. Who would like this time?
Leah S.
Okay, Leah, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I just want to say something that came to me as I heard all the shares. There are people that can put a stigma on me, and that can irritate me, whether it's true, whether it's untrue, whether it's accusatory, whether it's whatever it is. And why do I need God? Because God gave me the ability to speak today. He gave me the ability to do things with me today. And He gave me the ability to exist today. And for that alone, I am grateful. And I believe that He wants me around, and He wants me not to have that stigma. And it can be so empowering when you actually feel and think that way. This food is good for my body. This is what I'm going to do today. Regardless, this behavior is good for me because I just feel this is the other kind of behavior is going to bring me into negativity. This is so unbelievable, but it is true. And it can help me as it helped, you know, thousands of other people. And you can get out of this. You can get out of this, but you've got to practice it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And thank you to everybody who shared and to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, January the 9th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23102. That's 23102. And will Judith S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. This is Judy Gillespie in Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.